This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Big show lined up today. I'm going to call it a three-hour banger. How do you like that? Jeff Seely on the program. Best bets at the BMW in 30 minutes, 1 week. After Scottie Scheffler basically lapped the field, Mike Palm in studio, three burning questions in the NFL, plus you cannot be serious. In an hour and 15 minutes, professional bettor Paul Bovey is very strong, specifically on one team with a win total this year in the NFL, and he told us, Paulie, that he is going to give out information that the audience hasn't heard over and over and over again on this team, and he has three bets already on this team for the year, and you'll find those out in a couple of hours. I don't know about you, but every time this year... it rolls around, beginning in mid-August, season's right around the corner. I turn into a different kind of creature of habit. Now, honestly, when I wake up in the morning, let the dogs outside, do a couple of things. The first thing I do, like when I sit down at the computer or I grab the phone, Paulie, is I check to find out what the latest injury status is across the NFL. Because it just it spreads like wild. We forget about it, but here is yet another reminder about what actually happens at the beginning of the season and then throughout, when it will inevitably happen where we're looking at like week nine and we're going to say there are 10 quarterbacks in the league that I can't even believe are on rosters but are starting that week. And it's here, the list now. Again, the Saints, and I have multiple bets on the Saints this year. You had the news about Tyson, 2 months, Olave, blue tent yesterday. Now Kamara, he's going to be a backup this year. Mm-hmm. He's out probably for a month. No sign for the Colts, wide receiver Alec Pierce. Maybe he's ready for week one. They need their wide receiver room stinks.
Yep.
And he's clearly their best option. But it's one right after another again.
And it's the same teams. As the Chargers lose their center and the Texans lose another wide receiver. And it's big with Higgins out for the year. So they're very disappointing. And you're right, it's happening every single day now.
Higgins listed as the number two wide receiver for C.J. Stroud and the Texans. That is a big loss. Tightness for CMC and Mike Evans. What is new? What else could be happening there? Snap count early for Tucker Kraft, probably in the season. And the list goes on and on and on. And it just, from a betting standpoint, it speaks to when we have brought up friend of the show, Chris, in Wichita before, who does this every single year. Specifically targeting to bet every under for wide receiver props across every single national book that he has access to. He has, I'm looking at it right now, he sent this to me a couple of weeks back, he has 94 bets this year already. Shopped around, got the best number. Sometimes he would find differences of 75-plus yards, but he gets the best number on every single option listed for a season-long wide receiver prop. Could be running back, could be tight end, but basically wide receivers, and he bets every single under. I think he's ever had a losing year. Most times he cleans house. He needs to go 49-45 this year to break even. But so many things, and you right, we're all doing like these vignettes right now that you hear during breaks about betting tips. One of your tips is you have to consider unders because so many things can go wrong.
That's right. Quarterback change, coach fired, OC change, all of it. Yep. All that can factor into it. I'm reading now ESPN.com. Six players you cannot ignore in fantasy drafts, Stribling. Right there. All gas. No hesitation.
Good.
One of the biggest rookie revelations at the wide receiver position. Since stunning the league with a 4.340 at the combine, he's surprised throughout the offseason. 6'2", 210. Tracks the deep ball with elegance.
With elegance.
I love that. Devours the cushion.
That's even better.
And is viewed as one of the most physical and competitive blocking receivers in this class. The flying Hawaiian has settled into Santa Clara with ease, turning heads with his all-around talent and a big weapon for Shanahan's potent offense. The wide receiver coach, it's rare to get a guy that has everything, big, strong, physical, he can run. Let's go.
Wait a second here. The flying Hawaiian, isn't that Shane Victorino? Doesn't he have to sign off on this, like Daniels at LSU?
I think it was the same moniker. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. There's also this, because more books, I love the rapid fire bets that you can have, the September special, so to speak, at Caesars. DK does it as well. I added a bunch more in pocket because I did a kind of a simple handicap last night. If you like Pro Football Focus, right? One of the things that they do is the fantasy football strength of schedule. And if you're a subscriber there, you go there and it breaks down all of their 17 regular season games. And then it's week by week and it lists the difficulty from a 0 to a 10, the defenses that they're going to face, 10 being the easiest, by the way. So when I was looking at running backs and wide receivers last night, a couple of first 3 weeks of the season really popped to me. Again, they have it where the Chargers' first 3 weeks for running backs, again, from a 0 to 10, 10 being easiest, week 1, 9.7, week 2, 8.9, week 3, 8.5. So I circled Amarian Hampton, and another guy that I looked at was David Montgomery.
Because Hampton?
Yeah.
You see that where McDaniel was asked a fantasy question?
You know what? He was asked the same thing about Achan in previous years about Miami, said the same thing, and Achan was always the number one guy with a bullet. But Houston's first 3 weeks, also extremely easy. So what I did is I bet David Montgomery at 28-1 for most rushing yards and 28-1 for most rushing touchdowns in September. And I have Hampton at 18-1 and 12-1 respectively. And then this one is going to be tough to swallow potentially because Jalen Hurts, oh boy, what, 3 more INTs today at practice? Horrible season last year throwing the football.
A lot of heat on him.
No question. We'll expand on that coming up in about 10 minutes. Yep. But based on what Paul Charchian broke down yesterday with Devontae Smith, he loves him this year. I played their week one schedule. Their opponent is Washington. That's a 10. Easiest passing defense in the entire league. Week 2, 8.6, and week 3, 4.4. I bet Devontae Smith, 20-1, I added him to Stribling for most receiving yards in the first 3 games of the year.
Okay.
Fun stuff. Fun markets to bet into.
Charch recommended him yesterday as well. We got movement in the preseason. We have 2 games tomorrow. Houston not playing any starters. They also lost Mertz for the season. Mm. Mills had to come back into the last game. So they signed Rippon. They're on a 16-3 underrun in the preseason. Raiders favored. San Francisco now favored. They're laying 1.5 against the Chargers. They'll play the starters. And the dog is on a 9-1 run last 10 in San Francisco games. And the Chargers 2-12 run straight up at home in that one. Although Rourke looked good, but Martinez was a disaster for San Francisco in the last game. Detroit up to 4.5. Even though he's on a 2-12 run, Campbell's going to play the starters against Washington, and we know Quinn hasn't cared ever.
No, he's been terrible.
It'd be horrible in the preseason, although they got the win, but Mariota out for the preseason.
Yep. For the live audience right now, those of you listening on radio, watching on YouTube TV, elsewhere, thank you, by the way. We appreciate it, as always. We do have a baseball game starting in T-minus 2 minutes, and it's a really good pitching matchup with Brandon Pfaadt taking on Peyton Tolley as the D-backs are in Boston against the Red Sox. So Pfaadt was a reliever in late April, all of May, and then sent down for a month. 9 starts since coming back from AAA on June 30th. He has allowed 0 or 1 run in 6 of those 9 starts. 0 earned in 4 straight. In those 9 starts, 54-plus innings pitched. 7 earned, that's it, with a 1.15 ERA. Mm-hmm. This has been ridiculous. And Tolley has been, like, equally as good.
Yeah.
But I can't believe the Red Sox are laying this big of a number.
I know. He's 4-0 with a 2-2-1, and they won his last 7 starts. But what Pfaadt's done is incredible, and now the door's open because the Padres just lost a series and couldn't get the bats going here, lost 2 out of 3 to the Mets, as the Mets beat them 4-2. So I'm with you on the price and how great Pfaadt has been and trying to get to a game back of San Diego in a wild card.
Have you done a quick search at all on Ketel Marte for the Diamondbacks?
This is bizarre. He won't show up for anything. Doesn't show up to the game. Oh, we're going to fly him back and get work. Look at his knee. Doesn't show up for that either.
I can't. When Mike Palm's going to expand on this, and you know what he normally does for You Cannot Be Serious. He spends hours looking into this stuff. So Marte traveled to Boston with the team. He was in the lineup the other night. And they didn't know where he was. They had no idea. And they had to adjust, like, the last minute. They pushed it as long as they possibly could to get the lineup. They're like, I guess he's not going to be here. Didn't show up, called it a personal issue, and then multiple other things, like excuses for it. This guy has a history of doing this.
It's a Barrett Robbins situation?
Yes.
For Super Bowl? They found him in TJ?
Yeah, so he did this last year after the break in St. Louis.
Oh, no.
Same thing. How is this acceptable?
Yeah. Off the reservation.
travels with the team. Not going to be there tonight. And the Phoenix media is having a field day with this guy. And they can't believe that he gets away with it.
Yeah, good timing.
But
incredible, right? With the pennant race as well. There's some good markets out there, too. Will a team in the American League be under 500 and make the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
That's only yes, plus 110. And then Will Hill and Caesars put up, how many wins will the American League West winner have? And it's 83.5. Houston lost again.
Oh, boy, I don't know if they're going to.
I don't know if they're going to get to 84. I know. We're supposed to make up some ground because you're playing the Angels and the A's and you already started off with a loss. So I think that's a big ask for someone, and it's probably Houston, but for someone to get to 84 wins in that division.
So that means they have to finish 6 games over 500, yeah?
Yeah.
That seems like it's pretty far-fetched at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, was that rock bottom for the Mariners last night? 22-0 losers?
I would think so, right. It's the Jeff Sherman angle today. We'll see what you're made of if you have any pride.
Right.
But 20, that was the worst blowout shutout, worst loss since 1888? What happened? I'm putting a position player in. Rainbow, Authentics, and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach. Murray and Humans going to Hawaii for VSiN primetime from the islands Wednesday, August 26th. Special edition and a beach edition of the College Football Betting Contest, a podcast, breaking down all the Week 0 action. VSiN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday the 26th, 7 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN.
Love that they're going there again this season for that. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, a lot of players have yet to deliver. They need to do it this year. It's teetering on now or never. We'll discuss who we trust and who we don't next here on VSiN. Coming up in 15 minutes, Jeff Seeley's best bets at the BMW this week, PGA Tour. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is a pressure-packed year for a lot of, quote, top quarterbacks in the NFL, I would say, this year, Paul. He kind of feels like now or never, does it not?
Yes, they have to get it done. And time running out on a lot of these guys. Time running out on Lamar Jackson. Time running out on Allen, who's 30. And a lot of people love Herbert. He's a polarizing quarterback. But that 0-3 playoff record and what's happened, the loss at Houston with all the interceptions and how bad they looked at New England, he's got to get a playoff win, so does Harbaugh. And he has clicked right away with McDaniel, picking up the playbook, no problem. I love his weapons, and I love that they added Njoku to go along with Gadsden. You mentioned the running backs as well. But this is an offense that should cook this year and score a lot of points.
I'm getting to the point right now in the AFC that I think I'm only going to look at taking a bomb to win the conference. Because there are so many things happening to most of these teams again, where I'm just like, well, who's actually good in the AFC? I don't think anybody is great in the AFC at all. I don't think anybody sniffs greatness this year from that conference. And I just maybe looking down, maybe Jacksonville. Maybe we're just like, the overreaction there from that can't happen again this year. Like, I think it's at that point where, because look at, again, Houston's problems overall. Right, with the Higgins news today, bad offensive line. The defense is going to be there, but Stroud was, I couldn't even look at the screen last year. It was so ugly.
That's the team. If they just see him to be average.
Sure, but are we going to get that?
I wouldn't give him a contract extension either. I'd like to see what he does this year.
I might. So of the teams that are supposed to be really good, like I don't know if Mahomes is going to bounce back. And by the way, he stunk last year. The Broncos were very fortunate a year ago. The Chargers with their injuries already this year. The Ravens, how many times have we bought in, but they disappoint almost every single year. I maybe we're just like, it's the Bills by default, or maybe this is truly the Bengals' year.
I'd rather have Denver. And you bring in Waddle, and the fact that they played up to their competition last year, and that's when they were at their best. And now rave reviews about Davis Webb. I think it could be Denver, but it's hard to get there with the Bills based on their history and how bad they look.
I know.
They should have won that game, no problem, against Denver, but then you could argue Jacksonville. Here come the White Sox. But Jacksonville should have knocked them off, too. So it's funny that it's a lot of guys and a lot of quarterbacks in the AFC. with put up or shut up time, that they have to get it done. I don't have Burrow on that list because he's been to a Super Bowl, and it's just whether it's bad offensive line or shaky defense. Although Al Golden says the defense is going to do a 180 this year.
Right.
I wouldn't have Burrow on that list, but well, Lamar, absolutely.
Yeah, this is how bad it was for the Bengals last year. Fourth worst EPA per play allowed on defense. And the coming into the season, the consensus offensive line rankings from many different outlets, sixth worst offensive line. Can they flip it on both sides there? Can the O-line actually be like, I don't know, I'll just say a top 15 O-line? And is Golden maybe accurate to where they're middle of the pack on defense? If you told me both those things right now, the Bengals would be the bet. Because then I'll take my chances with Burrow being healthy. And if he is, good luck shutting down that offense. You know, other things to consider here. Lamar Jackson, the defense last year, bottom 12 on defense per EPA per play allowed, and 20th ranked offensive line. I know the weapons this year they're loaded in theory again, but I can't get over how big of a flop they were a year ago. And maybe moving from Harbaugh to Minter is going to be the deal that puts him over the top.
Yeah,
but
he lost the locker room.
Yeah, he did.
That's big.
He did.
All the injuries, the horrible start, and then you have a field goal to win the division that you missed there too.
Yep. I'll give you another guy here who it has not been all of his fault. I know people like to point fingers at him all the time when it goes sideways, but I pretty much trust Dak Prescott fully.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah,
turnover machine.
Oh, Paul, that offense is going to be unstoppable this year.
Oh, only a couple playoff wins. Well, terrible in some of the big games.
I know that. Oh. I know that. But it's been a 10-year sample size now, and to me, he has gotten the blame almost every single time. Look at last year. The offense was incredible. Their defense was dead last in EPA per play allowed in the entire league. So if somehow they get to, like, top 20, top 18, something like that. This offense, if they stay healthy, again, where are they? Top three, top four in the league? And they got the best kicker in football? Schottenheimer might be a good coach. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. He's polarizing too. Puts up big stats, but nothing to show for it.
Well, I'll tell you this. This guy has something to show for it. And without hesitation, Dak Prescott, to me, is clearly a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. Don't care that Hurts has won a Super Bowl. He was awesome, but what about last year?
Yeah, should have too. Well, all the pressure's on him because it's, you know, what happens to Sirianni if they have a bad year? And then your problem was A.J. Brown. They get rid of him, and now it's another offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't click with Mannion, remember Sal Powell said it was all on Hurts last year when he watched the film, the issues that they have. Yeah, no question it's a big year for him because he can't put the blame on anybody anymore.
Right. Where are the excuses this year for Philadelphia? Second-ranked offensive line. Again, consensus rankings going into the year. Latin defense is going to be, should be, really good again this year. Eighth best defensive EPA per play allowed a season ago. The passing game could not complete a pass for a full half last year in their games. So you can blame the offensive coordinator all you want, and he was terrible. But a lot of that has to be on the quarterback as well, a guy who was coming off of a Super Bowl victory. So I think he's got a lot to prove this season. I don't care that he's won a Super Bowl or not. He looked hideous last year.
Kyler Murray, another one.
This
is it. You were a number one overall pick, and now Arizona's still paying you, so you get the cheap deal in Minnesota. He's got to perform, and they have to make the playoffs, because then he's just going to be a journeyman and just go from team to team if it's not going to work out in Minnesota.
Well, what if it does work out then? Let's say they win 12 games. They're a threat in the NFC. Does he sign somewhere else next year?
I would think Minnesota would sign him then.
I would think they would have to.
Like, I don't even know if J.J. McCarthy's going to make the team, so that's got to be your guy, that he's 29 years old, and I would think it would be a long-term deal if they get to that 11 or 12 wins.
I'll ask you this, mentioned. Too.
How about in that division? It's a lot of pressure on Jordan Love, too. I mean, how they ended last season, you had injuries, but the five-game losing streak, then the season, the poor decision, clock management.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in the Bears game, throwing it up for grabs? Him and LaFleur, what happened? The brain fart in the Dallas game with the tie, where they're lucky there was 1 second left. Makes dumb mistakes, at least one to two big mistakes every game, it seems. This is a big year for Love as well.
So the deal to me with Green Bay is there's a lot of negatives, obviously. And I like Jordan Love. I have not gotten to the point where I, like, love him. Like, no pun intended. But I do really think that he can be a super solid quarterback. I don't think his coach is very good.
Nope.
I don't love LaFleur at all. And again, consensus rankings here, if they're accurate, going into the season, fourth worst offensive line in the entire league, something that they haven't had in a long, long time. No Parsons, obviously. What the hell's going to happen with Josh Jacobs? I think a very shaky wide receiver room, specifically when, not if, but when Christian Watson gets injured. And again, Tucker Kraft, per reports, he might be the best tight end in football. He is probably going to be out of pitch count, snap count, to begin the season. Those are all the negatives going in that direction. Oh, by the way, probably the most difficult division in football. So if this guy is the reason why they're winning games, then he will completely win me over. And if that's the case, like if the Packers somehow win that division and they go over their win total, Jordan Love can win the MVP at that point. But that's a lot of big ifs that we're talking about here.
They had some bad losses last year.
Horrible losses.
They were 9-3-1 after they beat the Bears at home. They lost that game on Monday night to Philly 10-7. They lost at Cleveland 13-10. And they lost at home to Carolina. I think they were laying two touchdowns in that game. They lost 16-13 in that game.
Couldn't do anything offensively in that game.
So you're thinking a bye or you know one or two seed, long playoff run, deep playoff run. Lost to Denver, lost to the Bears twice, and he didn't play in the last two regular season games as well. So they finished on the five-game losing streak. So he's on that list too.
Yeah. I'm just a couple things here, a couple of questions. Like, how come nobody wants to blame Josh Allen for the loss last year yet in the playoffs?
Yeah, he gets a pass on a lot of
stuff. Gets a pass all the time.
Yeah.
He was beyond abysmal. He's the reason why they lost that game.
I don't think he has much to work with, and that's why a lot of people are like to crush Dak because of some of the weapons that he's had.
Yeah.
But that was a horrible. Now, he was a one-man show for many of those years and couldn't outscore Mahomes, but that was on the defense. But this is that was alarming how bad he was in the Denver game.
And we already brought this guy up, but if it doesn't go well for him and the rest of the team is good, they show up, they put him in place to win games this year, but he is a disaster again, can we please have the Texans coaching staff say that enough's enough?
That's the correct move, but if they're talking contract extension, I can't believe it.
No. He needs to go out there and completely prove it to everybody this year.
Yeah. Regular season and playoffs. I don't know what was worse, what happened. I think, and I know JJ's on them week one. That's a big game for him because they've had, Allen's had a ton of issues against the Texans. So let's see what he looks like against the Bills right off the bat.
Yeah.
Now he's already down a key star. With a big injury.
Oh, the Texans have dominated Josh Allen. It's been a house of horrors for him when he takes on that defense.
But still, that's the point, though. All these injuries, guys going down, and they still find a way to make the playoffs and win a playoff game.
Scottie Scheffler won in rocking chair fashion at 5-1 on the PGA Tour this past week. He's now 3-1 this week as a result. How should we approach the tournament with those numbers? We'll ask Jeff Seeley for his best bets coming up next.
VSEN.
I call last week a fairly decent performance out of Scottie Scheffler. Crushed the field. I was unaware of this, but our next guest, Jeff Seeley, said that a lot of books took it off the board, like the back nine.
Route.
When's the last time that happened on tour?
Yeah.
Tiger?
Yeah, probably.
And Seeley joins the program now. Follow him on X at Cutmaker Jeff. He's doing a Spaces tonight on X talking about the tournament at Belle Reve. In St. Louis, and it's the BMW Championship. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Great, guys. This is the last time the PGA was here. Brooks Koepka was winning golf tournaments.
Yeah. That's a while back as well. So I was looking up some stuff, knowing that you're coming on today on Scottie, and I just, obviously, you know, he didn't have a lot of winners this year, last week, I think first time since January, but my God, top five in 12 out of his 18 events this year, including five of his last six. That's absolutely crazy talk that we're in. He's down to 3-1. So are you, before we get into like your board this week, are you looking at winner without Scottie or no?
You know, guys, rather than win without Scottie, I'm looking at a lot of the each way market. That's right. So you can, you know, as we talked about before, you get you win if they come in second, third, fourth, and so on, as well as the outright. So that's how I'm going to approach it versus the winner without.
Okay. There we go. And let's begin with the shortest shot that you're going to go with this week. It's not Scottie, obviously. It's not Rory, who could be ahead at 13-1 or even a little bit higher than that. It's not Xander. So who is it?
Yeah, guys, I'm going with Oberg. I mean, Oberg's like 20-1 or so. You know he's going to gain off the tee. That much is a given, which is definitely going to come into play here, right? This is the course is going to play really, really long. Oberg's found some form, back-to-back top tens his last two events. But guys, what I really like about Oberg right now is his greens in regulation have been absolutely elite the last three events, and he hasn't really shown any weakness to his game. So if you can believe it, he hasn't won in 16 months. With a guy as talented as Oberg, seems like a long time. But if he can find any momentum with the putter this week, I like his chances. He's going to gain in greens in regulation on the field. He's going to gain off the tee. If he's fine in the bottom of the cup, then I like Oberg a lot. My favorite way to play him, I mentioned each way mark. I played him 14-1 in the each way market. And then I don't mind a little bit if you wanted to play him top to win outright at 20-1 as well.
Okay. How about in the 25-1 range, Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. So, you know, we've been on Matt Fitzpatrick, who's gained on approach in an unbelievable 13 out of his last 14 events for the year. Really equally impressive has been around the greens, where he's gained in 12 of his last 15 events as well. So even when he's missing the green, he's able to get up and down. He has two wins and five top tens, which would put him in a really great spot this year. And when he's gaining off the tee, he did at the RBC and Valspar, he's a huge problem and is likely to win the tournament. So, you know, it's really enough to make me take a really hard look at him. 18-1 in the each way market is how I played Fitzpatrick. Again, guy, I don't mind it 24-1 as well, but I just prefer having the actual extra of each way, eight places the way I played him.
Okay. Are you doing the same thing with Wyndham Clark, who's available at a pretty nice number this week?
Yeah, Wyndham Clark's 30-1. After struggling back-to-back events, he's really found his ball striking last week, both off the tee and on approach. So he's usually solid with the putter, and it showed up again when he was able to finish top five last week. So we don't have to look very far back, just 2 months, when Clark was the hottest player on tour with a win and two top fives in six events. So in that stretch, he gained an average of 10 strokes and really didn't struggle in any trick. So I don't want to be late to the party when he's getting hot again. I like Clark. You can find him at 30-1 or you 22-1 in the each way market with eight places as well.
How about Cantlay, 30-1?
Yeah, guys. So, you know, Cantlay's put together a really solid run the last month. Four top tens and four more top 20 finishes his last 12 events. So, like Fitzpatrick, has been absolutely dialed in. He's gained an average of 6.5 strokes over his last two events. And if he can just gain off the tee and find a little bit of putting, I think he can be contention and finish top 10. So I played Cantlay top 10 plus 175 with a little on the outright there as well. And yeah, those are my primary guys in that 25-30 range.
Let me ask you this. What's the most insane stat here of these two? We talked about this yesterday. One, Vladimir Guerrero has not homered in Toronto at home in more than a calendar year now, believe it or not. Or I heard this earlier today on Money Moves. Patrick Cantlay has not won on the tour in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean it's you think about it. When was the last time Jordan Spieth won?
Oh, that's a great question. I would have no idea.
You know, I mean, Justin Thomas, almost the same thing, right? A lot of these guys have really struggled, but I think Cantlay of that group has quietly put together some form. And of any of those three I just mentioned, I do. I like his chances the best.
Okay,
is it 4 years ago
for Spieth?
I think that's what popped up here.
Yeah, I'm seeing a 2022 RBC.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
sounds right.
Boy, oh, boy. All right, how about a bomb? Michael Brennan, 50-60
yeah,
to 1.
I love Michael Brennan. I mean, this is simply a bet on talent play, guys. I mean, he absolutely hammers his drive. And when his putter gets hot, like it did at Wyndham a few weeks ago, he is extremely live. So when he won the Wyndham, I guess we probably could have seen that coming, because his form was pretty good. But I'm gonna dust off last week and go back to the guy we saw at Wyndham. I played him to top 20, as you mentioned, Mitch, earlier. I played him at top plus 115 in ties pay full market. But yeah, he's a guy you're gonna have to bomb it this week, and I like his chances as good as anybody north of 50-1.
Very good. Follow Jeff on X. He is at Cutmaker Jeff, and he's gonna do a Twitter Spaces tonight or an X Spaces tonight with more on the BMW this week. Thanks, pal. Good luck this week. Okay.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Thank you.
He brought up Thomas. He actually won at the 2025 RBC, but his guy, Koepka, well, guess the last time that he won on tour? The PGA, I'm not...
Not counting LIV?
Not counting LIV.
I will also say 2022.
2023. He won at Oak Hill.
Yeah.
In May of that year. That must have, was it the PGA? His last standard PGA Tour event victory.
Tough.
Yeah, okay.
Tough, man.
That's wild, though. Cantlay has been that long. Spieth has been that long. Yeah.
The Twins just swept the Braves. How about that?
Is that over?
It is. 6-4. So now Texas is your final wild card. Two games under. Tied with the Twins. There's like eight people at the game today. As they're so pissed at ownership.
Oh, it's just completely
the Blue Jays are a half game back. Seven of 10. They've been such a big disappointment. They're a half game back. Cleveland and Baltimore a game back. Detroit just lost. Now, after they were so hot and playing good ball, they got swept at home by Chicago and just lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh. Jansen blew it in the ninth. Yep. So they're now a game and a half back and 5 games under .500.
I'm sitting there with a ticket at almost 8-1 on the Tigers to make the playoffs. And they were in the playoffs before last weekend when they started that series with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Now, as you said, they've lost 5 out of 6. And I just, so that's 4-6 in their last 10 on top of that. And everything was rosy and looking great. Well, now they closed the month. They get 3 at Kansas City. They should do well, but who the hell knows? After that, 3 against Tampa, 3 against the Dodgers at home to close the month. I might be looking at a team that's going to be 6 out of the wild card come September.
Yeah.
Brutal stretch here for that team.
I would think Tampa can get to Max Scherzer today, though, coming up. That they get the offense going, as Scherzer's been bad. And Rasmussen's $2 in that game.
Well,
but it's a better price on the run line.
Yeah, Scherzer's season-long numbers are an abomination. Recently, he's been better. I know Rasmussen is great. Should they be more than $2 the way both teams are playing?
Yeah, fade of Scherzer. They're 13-6.
That. It's too high.
I think he's BP. Okay, 13-6, half a game back. Fourth best ERA during that stretch. And a great turnaround with that tough schedule as they were playing all those American League East teams, what they were doing. Milwaukee's now number one in run differential. Mm-hmm. On pace for a plus 203 run differential. We'll see if Seattle has pride tonight.
I think they show up tonight.
I don't know.
After getting completely embarrassed like that last night.
1888, that's how far you got to go back. Most runs in a shutout.
And once you know it, we snuck in the game that started at 1:10 Pacific time, 4:10 in Boston. Fott going against Tolley tonight. Great pitching matchup. And Fott has been absolutely brilliant. Leadoff home run for the Red Sox to begin the game. PCA style now.
Now, that's good. This is helping you out. So ESPN.com asked 20 players, who's the MVP? It was PCA in a runaway. And the numbers have moved as well on him. He got 15 votes. Otani got 4. Two guys split it. Come on.
Come on. Pick a street.
But so it was a ton of players that went PCA over Otani. But that's the way I'd come back with Otani total bases over again, too. Going against Freeland. How he's so good at Coors Field. Another bomb last night. 2.5 total bases, I think, a good way to attack.
By the way, he's higher than 2-1 at some spots to hit a home run tonight. Probably worth it. I by the way, I wonder if any voters for that award would prefer to actually talk to players or listen to players with their opinion. There is a cut making the rounds from Diana Rossini a couple years ago.
Okay.
For her votes, and she said she likes to talk to players for the MVP. Now, she changed her mind and eventually lied to Josh Allen and said she was going to vote for him. She didn't. But there's a lot there with her, too. She's probably the outlier to the entire situation. Paulie's going to run down Win Some, Lose Some coming up and Follow the Money. It's Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Dino.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
MLB favorites 12-3 yesterday. One of the best performances you're ever going to see. Tatis robs Lindor of a grand slam and hits two bombs. As the Padres win, he was 44-1 at DraftKings. Daily specials, most Ks, Boz 9-1. Most runs, Brewers 20-1. Highest scoring game, Brewers-Mariners 15-1. Milwaukee most runs in a shutout since 1888. It happened again in the WNBA. Three of the four games went under. 18-1 under run in the WNBA. It continues. Sparks game 174 down to 170. New York, Chicago under 183 down to 179.5. It fell 179. Chicago plus 155 on the money line and Atlanta plus 145. Maybe you want to come back with the Aces in their next game.
Yeah, they're laying 12.5.
And they usually blow teams out.
Maybe go around the world with them, Paul.
Hammond got tossed from that game.
Yep.
Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. A couple people sent this to me. This is great. Better than the humans. The dog's got the AC unit there. Yeah. And outside, look at this guy. Got the blankets. Guy rolling over. Oh, okay. You want to play? Hang out? How you doing?
What a doghouse, huh?
No kidding. You got the AC in the doghouse. Guy's taking a nap, rolling over. Oh, it was all comfortable. You come on in. Oh, they're living a good life right there. That's excellent. This is a lose some, though, as the puppies are all over mom here. We got a lot on her plate. Look up top though. Look at dad. You see him on the right?
Oh, he's
on the couch. Yeah. All lights out, right? How can you sleep through that?
Looks like my dad.
You got all the dogs here wanting to hang out with mom, and then the guy up top on the couch is laying on his back and it's lights out.
That is
some deep sleep. Yeah. Nothing's waking him up. Long day at the office for that fella. That's incredible. And one bad beat. Tigers lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh. 3-2 in the ninth. Jansen gives up 2 solo shots in that game. Now it begs the question, why even bother? So they skipped Skeen's start. They threw him today. They pulled him early again. He threw 80 pitches. He did hit 98 a couple times, but he gave up 3 earned runs. 4 1/3. Just call it at this point. There's no reason to keep sending him out there. You skip the start. The velocity still was down. But then again, he only goes 80 pitches, and he gives up. He's touched up for 4 runs again. They're 9-16 when he starts.
But they won that game today somehow, miraculous fashion. What's the takeaway? Betting standpoint. If he goes again, bet against him first 5. Bet against him, split up a unit, put it first 5 in for the game.
Runs over, too, yeah. The Ks aren't there.
He walked a ton of dudes.
Yep. He had 4 walks. He's got an ERA of over 5. In his last 16 starts. Man.
How quickly this has changed.
No kidding.
If you go back a year and a half ago, or a year ago, they would have traded him for probably nobody other than Ohtani, right? Now, imagine if they called the Brewers and said, hey, Skeen's for Mizorowski. The Brewers would... get my point.
He's top 5 in worst ROI. This is 17 starts now with that ERA over 5.
Wow.
And how bad the record is when he goes out there. Sharp place. Jeff and the crew been with us since day one, reaching out to over 500 bettors and sources worldwide across all sports. Real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros, AI betting analysis. Over 30 grand donated with the Robinhood plays the last 3 years to charity. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. Sharpplays.com, the daily Mr. Poison tweets, and get the Telegram as well. Jump on board and win at the sharpplays.com.
So if PCA and Ohtani each homered last night and both their teams won the game, why was there like a 50-plus cent move on PCA to win the MVP? It was basically a dead pick'em before the game. And he went to a $1.75 favorite during and after the game. And, for example, right now, Kelce, he is trading at 59 cents to win the award.
Was it the Jesse Rogers article, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe that came out, I thought, was
in the morning.
Yeah.
But he talked to 20 players, and they said, PCA in a runaway.
Let me give you some of the quotes, by the way, from some of these players. Brady Singer, Reds pitcher, quote, if Ohtani was pitching, it would probably be him. PCA has been incredible, super fun to watch. He's electric. He changes the game. It reminds me a lot of Bobby Witt when I was playing with him. I like PCA right now. Both are great, and both are tough to face. End of quote. Well, that ties into, I hope PCA wins based on the bet that I have on him, but I can't disagree with Mike Palm's point about this. What if Ohtani did not pitch at all to begin the year, and he started pitching like after the All-Star break and eventually finished with those? It would all be recency bias. And there's no way that PCA would be minus 175 right now, right? I can't imagine that would be taking place. It's like out of sight, out of mind. This is from Mark Leiter for the A's. Quote, one plays elite defense, the other doesn't play the field. If you take Ohtani out of the rotation, they don't miss a beat. And if you take him out of the lineup, I still don't think they miss a beat. End of quote. Now, that part is definitely pro-PCA. Ohtani's been DHing while missing this time as a starting pitcher, and PCA, probably the best defender, numbers bear this out as well, in the entire sport. Elite defense. I'll give you a couple of pro-Ohtanis here, too.
I see where they're getting at, though, too. The Dodgers are still a playoff team without Ohtani. Who knows where the Cubs are without PCA?
I don't think they are. I don't think they're a playoff team.
Who?
The Cubs.
Well, right, yeah. I'm with you.
Dodgers definitely are.
Yeah, and there's so much talent there.
Sean Burke for the White Sox. Pro Ohtani, quote, a half season of Cy Young level pitching and what he does offensively, no one has done that on both sides of the ball. He gets my vote. Again, I'm all ears to that. This is from White Sox catcher Drew Romo. Ohtani, quote, he's been the most valuable. He's maybe the greatest player of all time. And I know the MVP is a, quote, this year award, but I just think Ohtani is the greatest. The first half on the mound was enough for me.
They didn't even give it to Jordan every year.
No, they did not.
So I don't think they'll, that's the argument against Ohtani. They'll just give it to a different guy. And then we saw that in the NBA when they gave it to Embiid over Joker.
Very true.
What they did too.
Yep. So, and by the way, as we're talking about this, PCA just went from 59% of Kelce to 54% or cents. Depends on how you look at it. So, again, this just, it depends on, to me, whether or not Ohtani's going to come back and pitch for the remainder of the year. If he makes one or two more starts, maybe that'll be enough to flip it completely.
What do you think of Cleveland tonight? Giants throwing a kid making his debut. Messick's $2.
I kind of like the nickname. Tugboat.
Tugboat, yes.
Sure.
But I saw that. St. Cloud, Minnesota. I went to it. It was before he was. That guy was all over the place. He was Akeem the African Dream. And then he was part of the Twin Towers, and he started out as Tugboat.
Tugboat, yeah.
He came in, woo-woo. Right. Yeah, the big guy.
Well, so can you make a case to bet on the Giants at this point? We'll expand on the baseball card coming up here in a bit. But
I like Messick, but this is a crazy price, though.
Well,
to be 212, and you wonder what kind of offense they're going to get, but how many runs they'll get off Wilkinson. But you're right about fading the Giants. But, again, look how bad Cleveland's played.
Let me give you
going back here. Sure.
A couple of notes on San Francisco. They've lost 12 of their last 16. They've been outscored 79-49 in that span. That's like Mariners bad. And they have an NL worst 665 OPS against lefties this year. I got the ticket on them to tailing Adam Burke here at VSiN on that after the trade deadline. Most losses. They're right in this thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely horrible.
That is a great race. You can bet that stuff too at Will Hill Caesars, which I love. And you can parlay it. Last place teams and who's going to have the worst record.
What do you think the biggest number was on St. Louis to make the playoffs at all, before the year or during the year? Because they're red hot again.
Yeah, why is Burns only $1.20?
I think that because the Reds are tailspinning and the Cardinals have been really good.
14-2 with a 2.47. And yet he's so cheap at home.
Is this maybe a good under?
What do you think? I don't know. I'll answer your question. How big the price was?
That'd be massive.
Yeah.
So they've won 11 of their last 16, tying the Cubs, Padres, Phillies, best record in baseball since August 2nd. For the Reds, they've lost 4 of their last 5. They've been held to 1 or 0 runs in 3 of them, including the shutout loss yesterday. So maybe this is just Nerfy, first 3, first 5, like nothing. Burns is great again. Reds bats do absolutely nothing. And you get out of there and the game's 2-1, call it a day.
I could see 2-1. Yeah, absolutely. Cavalli's been awesome, too.
Oh, very good.
He almost had that no-hitter against the Cubs and had all those strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to bet the daily specials with him. But I wonder what Texas is going to get. I don't see Texas doing much off him tonight as they have issues scoring. He's been so good. He's a dog against Rocker.
Cosine. By the way, isn't it funny? Now, I took pretty much the majority of the game to get there, but the Malinsky special came in again last night. Orioles back home, long 10-game road trip, no day off, fly back, get the Yankees well-rested, 1-1 game most of the way. Oh, Yankees get too late. That's the ballgame, 3-1. See you tomorrow.
Pitching's been so good, just can't hit.
Can't hit?
You want to make the case for the over tonight with Bassett and Warren, but just can't do it with the Yankees.
I know it. And I'll tell you what, there's a pitcher in a spot that has got great numbers based on trends. Find out who that is coming up next here on VSiN.